Potacular 371, weapon tuning complete for May 30th, 2013.
Hello everyone, welcome to Potacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And today is a glorious day because we finally have solid details behind the weapon tuning system. We've seen information come out from the bulletin, we've seen information come out from the stream that they had a couple weeks ago, but now we have kind of the cold, hard, final set of facts behind the weapon tuning, which is so nice to see, so that we're not dancing around any of this stuff anymore. So, without further ado, let's jump right into things. So this week's bulletin, of course, first thing off the top is you'll notice there's actually going to be a playdate, a community playdate on June 3rd at 5 p.m. through 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, which ends up being 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So instead of doing our Monday Night Matchmaking, we're actually not going to be doing it next week. Because of this play date. So we may backfill that with one with the weekend following, or the week following, but because of this play date, we are not going to be having Monday Night Matchmaking next week. So sorry guys, but I don't want to get in the way of that play date, because I'm sure you guys would love to go play with them, probably a little bit more than you want to play with us, because they're a little bit more important, I think, in the Halo Universe, since they make the game. So
just a little bit.
Just a smidge. I mean, BS Angel, she has a little bit more importance, even though she's really short, but we'll give them credit because they do great stuff over there.
Well, I mean, it's objective. Some people might think we're more important. You never know. I mean,
I guess it is. Yes, it is purely subjective in that case.
Yeah,
but the
yeah,
fact you, that if, they if make can, the game.
If you can get into a BS Angel party, you want to do that. That's something you need to do before you end your Halo career. I've only played with BS Angel twice, I think, and it was both on accident. I accidentally match made with her during the final days of Halo 2.
Aw, you match made?
Yes, match made with BS Angel.
Aw, how sweet.
So, I don't understand, like, how do they pick people for their parties?
Like, so this is similar to how everyone else does their parties. You send a message to one of their gamer tags, and they'll post their gamer tags on the night of the stream, and then they basically go in order. So they go from the bottom. It's basically how everyone does it. They go from the bottom of the list all the way up to the top, and then as they go through the invites, people will just get invited. I'm not sure if they'll have a different way of managing the invites this time around, like, compared to some other people, but that's pretty much how it works. And whenever you see people streaming, that's how it usually goes. I don't know, and I don't think they're really streaming this either. I didn't see anything in here that said they were actually going to stream their play date, so it's just going to be pretty much playing online. They may do it to where they're just like going through as a team through playlists. They may be doing that as well. That's probably likely what they're going to do. I think that's what they ended up doing in the past. There has been some kind of like waypoint, community playdates that's basically been kind of pulling together a bunch of the community leaders, which I've had the blessing to be a part of a few times. But I think for something like this, where they're actually going to go into the playlists and just have a team of them going in there and playing against people, I think that's what they're actually going to do. So, because of that, we are not going to be having our Monday Night Matchmaking this next week. But we may follow it up with the week after.
Maybe. Possibly. It's Dustin's decision.
Yeah. we'll see. You guys will definitely hear about it if we do manage to pull that one off. And thank you, Jess. She just tweeted our stream. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. So, on to the nuts and bolts of this bulletin. The final state of weapon tuning. It is finally here, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm pretty content with all the changes that they've made. I'm still kind of sad that my DMR got nerfed a little bit. Well, take it back. It hasn't been nerfed, but compared to the other weapons, it feels like it's gotten nerfed.
Right.
We're going to dive through these real quick. Starting off, the first one, the big one that everyone has been looking forward to is the change on the battle rifle. So, for the battle rifle, the damage has been increased slightly to where it's now capable of killing in 4 shots. The rate of fire has been slightly decreased, so the rate at which the BR fires is actually a little bit less. The reticle range, or the range where the kind of the auto aim kicks in, has been decreased, so that mid-range part is actually pulled back a little bit. And then 2 bursts from a battle rifle followed by melee is an instant kill. So 2-shot melee for the battle rifle. So pretty interesting dynamics there going for the battle rifle, where we have the 4-burst shot back. And whenever people were playing it on the stream a couple weeks ago with Green Skull, Ghost, and all those guys, they said that the timing on the BR actually felt similar to the timing how it was in past Halo games. So for those of you who are classic Halo fans, that are big fans of the battle rifle from Halo 2 and Halo 3, it's pretty much a global consensus that the battle rifle from those games is back.
Yeah. I think slowing down the rate of fire on the BR is going to help people's accuracy a lot. And they'll probably need that now that the red reticule range has been decreased a little bit. Because that already wasn't, you know, very long as far as the range on that triple R. Especially not as long as the DMR. And that kind of seems to be an issue that people spoke of, you know, early when they were complaining that the DMR was overpowered, was, you know, it has such great range as, you know, compared to the BR.
Right.
But now, I mean, the damage has been increased. It's 4-shot mm-hmm. kills. It's a lot more useful in close quarters now that you got the 2-shot melee.
Right.
So, yeah. It looks like a good weapon. I obviously haven't played with it yet. I didn't watch the stream either. Kind of been out of the Halo loop for the past 2 weeks. But I'm excited. I'm ready to use this BR.
I'm still holding my reservations before... or until we get the weapons actually out. Because I want to see how the DMR still feels in comparison to the rest of the weapons. But we'll get to that one in here in a second. For the carbine... The changes that we have to this weapon is the damage has been increased, so I believe from a 9-shot kill, it has been reduced down now to a 7-shot kill with the carbine. The accuracy has been increased. That basically translates to the spread on where your projectiles from the carbine could land is now confined a little bit more. So that projectile spread has been decreased. And then the red reticle range has been decreased a little bit as well.
Yeah. Seems like the red reticule range has been decreased, like, across the map, except for the light rifle on the just the precision weapons.
Right. And I wonder if that's just if it's increasing the skill gap.
Yeah.
Because it seems like that's kind of what it's doing.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a more skill-based kind of system. I'm interested in the carbine. Never really used it a whole lot, but now that, you know, it's more powerful and the accuracy's increased, it seems like something you might actually want to use now.
Right, well, from last week's bulletin, we actually saw that people were preferring the carbine in a lot of situations because of how the changes felt. And going from a 9-shot to a 7-shot kill is pretty significant.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, for me, it's mainly just I don't like having to pull the trigger that often. You know, 7 shots on one person, assuming you get all your shots in with the BR. Now it's just, you know, 4 kind of cadenced shots that you get. You don't have to pull the trigger very fast. It's a very smooth, relaxing experience.
Well, I believe for the battle rifle, it's actually the 11th bullet kills. I think it's... 10 bullets take out shields, and then the 11th bullet, if it's a headshot, takes the kill. I think that's what they said on the stream, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, back in the bulletin, or I don't remember which bulletin it was, but they were talking about that being a kind of networking thing, so that, you know, in case of lag, you know, that you didn't have to get that actual last bullet into their head to get the headshot. So, yeah.
Yeah. Next on the list, of course, is the light rifle. This one has traditionally in Halo so far have been kind of overlooked just because of how it's been positioned against the other precision weapons. But with how it's kind of been matched up now to the DMR, a lot of people that have at least been able to play it are preferring the light rifle even now as well. So the zoomed rate of fire has been increased. The unzoomed rate of fire has been slightly decreased. So that basically translates to the rate at which you can fire when you're scoped out is a little bit like the three-shot burst. You could always shoot a little bit faster. But I'm guessing they either flopped them or they balanced it out to where those two timings are basically kind of met up together. So that has basically made the light rifle kind of on the same level as the DMR, along with the red reticle range being matched to the updated DMR red reticle range as well.
Yes.
So,
To me, it still seems like kind of a fourth tier weapon. Like, there's no reason
depends.
Why.
Because the light rifle was actually, I believe you could kill people in four shots zoomed in. And it was five shots if you were zoomed out, if you hit all the little projectiles. So having that zoomed in damage, the rate of fire, that basically means it outplays the DMR, depending on how that timing actually is done. And it probably doesn't quite match the DMR quite yet. I'm assuming that timing is probably a little bit slower. It's been a while since I've actually played consistently with a light rifle, so I don't exactly know off the top of my head, even though I probably should. So, if I remember correctly, though, the rate of fire from the unzoomed light rifle seemed about as fast or maybe a tad bit slower than the DMR. So, overall, the light rifle is probably still a little bit slower, but the fact that it can kill in four shots... was zoomed in, if I believe that's right. Stream, help me out if I'm wrong. I believe that actually makes it a little bit more of a weapon to go for over the DMR. And from what we saw from last week's bulletin and from the stream, and I think a couple of bulletins ago they also talked about it, but it seems like a lot of people are kind of ditching the DMR and trying out the battle rifle, the carbine, and the light rifle, and starting to switch over to those weapons. So...
kind of went from being the best weapon in the game to kind of the bottom of the pile as far as precision weapons go.
Right, and...
it's kind of weird.
I mean, I can appreciate people's wanting to go back to kind of classic Halo feel and wanting to have that BR feel back in the game.
Yeah.
But the DMR, in my preference, is if you can nail all those shots, if you can be precision... or be precise with all those shots, then you should be rewarded, similar to the carbine. I mean, they bumped down how many shots it took for the carbine. If you get all those shots, you basically have the fastest kill weapon in the game. So, with people who have mastered the DMR like myself, now it's even harder. In some cases, it may be a little bit unbalanced. So, and I'm obviously looking at this kind of as a biased opinion a little bit because I prefer the DMR, but we'll have to see what happens when it actually gets dropped next week. So I'm not saying it's going to be like that, that's going to be completely outplayed, but I do want to see where the DMR can consistently play with these other weapons throughout the game. So yeah. I hope they didn't mess it up quite that badly. I'm guessing not, but I'm holding judgment until we actually get the weapons out there.
Right. You want to actually get a feel for it before you make any judgment.
Right.
I think it'll still have utility at long range. I think at long range it'll probably be the best precision weapon.
I mean, it still has the 3x scope, which is the only weapon that has that scope. So it still has that technically, but... you have the red reticle range that gets reduced. You have all these weapons that have gotten buffs and damage. I mean, the light rifle didn't get a damage bump. But the carbine did, the battle rifle did, and the light rifle was basically upgraded. All these other weapons got upgraded, and the DMR got nerfed. It was the only weapon to get nerfed out of the precision weapons. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, I guess.
DMR is now 3-shot burst.
Okay, that would
same
be overpowered. That would be freaking overpowered. Someone asked in the chat if these changes are across all game types, and yes, they are across all game types, campaign, Spartan Ops, and matchmaking, and customs. So that is something to keep in mind when the update gets dropped on June 3rd. So they're not pulling a Reach with the title update that they did, where you basically had, what, four different settings? You had zero bloom, you had 85% bloom, then you had vanilla and all that crazy stuff. So they're actually doing a legitimate, what seems like a push out to the whole sandbox of Halo 4.
Complete conversion.
You know, that kind of increases the longevity of the game in a ways, because that means you can go back and play the campaign and Spartan Ops, and it's almost kind of like a new experience with the having the different weapons. I mean, it's not a completely different experience, but the fact that you have the gameplay is now different, let it be a small difference, but it's different, would still be interesting to go back and play those missions again with the new weapon settings.
Oh, yeah, now that the BR is cool, I mean, I imagine those missions will be
even
better.
Now that the BR is cool.
I mean, it was always, like, kind of cool just for nostalgia reasons, but the BR is not ever as cool as it is when it's the best precision weapon in the game. I mean, you go back to Halo 2, Halo 3, like, the BR was king. Then Halo Reach came along, and, you know, like, we're getting rid of the BR. Here's this new thing that you have to get used to, and, you know, in those first few months, people, like, really hated the DMR. Like, they hated the fact that they had to switch over from, you know, that cadence of the three-round burst to actually timing their shots and dealing with reticule bloom. And
I think it's just a different skill set, and people weren't happy with it because it's something that was different.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with it at first, but it grew on me.
I got pretty good with it.
Yeah, you can get good. That was the thing. People eventually found out that, you know, it had better range than the BR. If you can time it right, it's almost as quick as the BR and kills, especially at range. In SWAT, I won't use any other weapon. Like, the BR to me in SWAT is useless if you have the DMR. Because that first shot is just faster and more accurate.
But the thing is, if you miss that first shot and you have someone else with a BMR, that's three bullets that they have to possibly get a headshot on you.
Yeah, but I don't have that problem, so. Just kidding.
I don't know,
but
for me...
Maybe that is it. Maybe the fact that I only get one shot with the DMR, and I know that, it makes me have to, you know, take that shot very carefully. I've just noticed I do better in SWAT with it than the BR. And SWAT's always been kind of a playlist that I'm better at than just regular Halo. For some reason, like, I can get the first headshot on somebody, but in regular, like, just Infinity Slayer or normal Slayer in any of the other games, generally somebody will get a grenade on me or a teammate will run up on me. But in SWAT, you know, where it's just one-shot kills, I do pretty well. And, yeah, I enjoy the DMR in SWAT. Don't know why, except maybe just knowing that you get one shot.
Yeah, it depends for me. It depends on the map that I'm playing on, and it depends on whether or not my aim is on game or not. Like, if I'm not doing well aim-wise, I'll switch to the battle rifle just because I know I have those three chances to land a headshot, where if I'm on fire with my aim, I'll go DMR all the way.
Yeah. Well, the good thing in SWAT with the BR is you get kind of that sway into the shot. Like, you don't actually have to have the reticule pointed right at their head. You know, you can kind of just fan your shot across, and if one of the bullets hits, it'll usually kill him. So that's
right.
Cool.
So, in my opinion, the best balance for the battle rifle and the DMR would be make it to where the timings on both of them would be the same, even if the battle rifle was a four-shot kill and the 10th bullet killed. But make it to where if you land all four headshots on with the DMR and all five shots with the DMR as headshots and all four shots as the BR, I feel that those two timings should be even. Because that way, if someone misses a DMR shot, and maybe if someone misses one or two bullets with the BR still has a chance to, on that fourth shot with that 12th bullet, get the headshot. So, right. I think, and I'm sure they've done their extensive testing, so 343 obviously knows what they're doing. They have Bravo, and they had six very, very respectable Halo players playing the new settings 2 weeks ago and providing quality feedback, I'm sure. So the balance is there. But if it were me, just from what I'm thinking, that would be kind of the best mix of having those balances there, where the timings would be pretty much exactly the same or within like maybe a frame of each other. A frame being a 30th of a second. And having that battle rifle be that 10th or 11th shot would be perfectly okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal, what I would see as a good balance for those two weapons. A lot of people also have problems with the DMR just being in the game. And I think if you can master that skill set, then it should be a viable option for people to use. If people want to use the battle rifle, if they got used to how the battle rifle felt and really understood how to use that weapon, then they should be able to use that. And people that have learned to use the DMR, I think they should be able to use that one too. So all these people who are griping and complaining how both of these primary human weapons are in the game, I don't think that's really a problem at all. Heck, I wouldn't mind seeing the needle rifle and the carbine in the next Halo game either.
I enjoyed the needle rifle.
It was fun, especially like when you had no shields and you just kept getting body shots on them, and then you see the super combine. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I like that mechanic of Halo Reach. It added a new kind of feel to the game. Granted, a lot of things made Halo Reach a different feel.
Well, I mean, super combines are always fun.
Yeah. Fear the pink mist!
I mean, being able to do it across maps, even more fun. You know, you just zoom in and boom! Combine that with Grunt Birthday Party.
Yes, I love the Grunt Birthday Party. I know some people hated it, but I loved using that armor effect.
I love it. Like, I think it should be default in every single mode in Halo from now on.
It's like, even in one campaign. Game type. Well, there is a skull for it. There is a game type in Rumble Pit that I believe has the Grunt Birthday Party, or had, and I guess they removed it.
No fun allowed.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just something fun that was thrown into the game, and I thought it made it just kind of a good experience. Thanks, Chewie. It was an action sack. So, yes, long live the Grunt Birthday Party skull and the effect, because it was one of those things that just made the game fun. I even played it in the MLG playlist in Reach, and there were other people that used it too, but it was just like, I died. Well, still got Grunt Birthday Party. It's like, yay!
Yeah, it just makes the game more lighthearted and enjoyable. You know, it's a little bit of humor injected into your high-intensity chaos.
Right. It kind of helps keep a level head, too. Because if you're like having a bad game, you just hear one of those grunts go, yay! It's like, aw.
Prevents rage quitting.
I feel better all of a sudden. Yeah, it prevents rage quitting. Grunt Birthday Party Skull. Prevents rage quitting. Bye today. That should be the subtitle of our podcast. All right, on to the automatic weapons for the weapon balancing. So we have the assault rifle. So the modification to this one is the damage has been slightly increased. So the assault rifle now kills in 3 less rounds. So I believe that someone said that you can actually kill like 2 people now with a full clip of assault rifle, where before you can only kill one and maybe a little bit of, or most of another one. But I believe now you can actually kill 2 people with a full round or full clip of assault rifle ammo if you actually time it right. I think I remember someone saying that. For the storm rifle, the damage has been increased. Wait a second, I forgot to finish the assault rifle. Wow. My bad. The assault rifle also has had the auto-aim angle reduced, so that magnetism for that auto-aim, the range at which it kicks in, has been reduced to kind of increase the skill gap a little bit. But the assault rifle projectile spread has been decreased, so that spread, the reticle bloom that shows that spread has been decreased, so it's not as big anymore. So at close range, you're still going to dominate a lot of people. You just won't have that magnetism anymore, but if you're really that close to people, you should be able to react to them pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, I would gladly exchange the auto aim for the projectile spread.
Like, I would as well.
That effectively, like,
Well, it increases the range of the assault rifle.
Yeah, like you can use it at actual ranges that you need to use it.
It's still pretty powerful at longer ranges, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, now it could potentially be on par with the precision weapons. They're obviously never going to be as powerful as the BR or, you know, the carbine or the DMR, but have a chance.
Yeah, and with those especially regular encounters, they should... Right. And with the regular encounters that you get, which is usually those mid-range encounters and sometimes long-range, depending on the map, you're going to use the precision weapons. It's just those instances where you're playing on the smaller maps and the cases where you're actually in closer to people that the assault rifle becomes a essential weapon.
Yeah.
It still has its uses.
I can see this being like really useful for flag defense. If you go into CTF and I know I'm just going to be sitting around my flag all day.
Oh, yeah.
I might go with a storm rifle or a, you know, assault rifle.
Yeah, and that would be kind of the logical thing to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Go with a bolt shot.
No, 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 no. We're not talking about that now. Storm
all
rifle.
All the changes are, the changes for the automatic weapons are uniform across all three.
Are they really? Yep. Oh, wow, they are. I didn't even notice that in my first read through. How about that? So, yeah, I guess the assault rifle, the storm rifle, and the suppressor have had their damage increased, the auto aim angle reduced, and the projectile spread decreased. I hope that's just not a mistake copy-paste.
I don't think it would be, because this is kind of a big deal. Like, yeah. This is, like, the essential, here's what you're going to get in this update. So I don't think that they would just kind of copy-pasta this stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either, but it's still kind of strange just to see it turn out that way to where all three weapons have the same effects to them. So basically, those weapons are a little bit more dangerous, but in comparison to each other, they're really not that different.
Yeah.
Suppressor, I don't know if I'd still use it, though.
I just don't like the effect. Well, it just seems like it's less accurate.
That, and compared to the storm rifle and the assault rifle, it doesn't do the job compared to those two. And I think the one big thing was the spread. And it may be also to the fact where the spreads and the auto aim, the amount at which they have been affected are different for each weapon. That might be why.
Yeah.
Because they don't specifically state here like what specific numbers they have going into these things.
I think they kind of learned their lesson from the bolt shot, because people like saw the bolt shot didn't get decreased in range as far as they wanted it to. And like people kept complaining about it. So like, no, we're just not going to give you any numbers now.
Well, I mean, to that point still, though, there are certain cases where I go up against someone with full shield and they get me with a bolt shot. And I'm like, you're still killing me from that far away? That's not possible.
Right. Well, I mean, the entire point of the bolt shot is that the function of that weapon at, you know, any range is kind of crap. It's really unfair.
If you want to make that weapon...
The idea... Go ahead.
If you want to make that weapon a viable weapon, increase the single shot damage, make it to where that overcharge takes out that full clip, and make it to where you have to be within like 5 feet of the person in order to get the kill.
Yeah.
Like you have to be literally within head to foot Spartan length of the other person. Like all but maybe a couple of those projectiles that come out of the bolt shot have to hit the target in order to kill.
Like that's how the bolt shot jammed into my Spartan's chest plate to get a kill.
Well, maybe not that close, but essentially,
that's how
yeah.
close I want it.
I mean, like 5 feet, it's... I mean, you put out your arms, you're almost touching the other person. It's a pretty respectable range, I think. I mean, I think the range for the bolt shot should be just a little bit more of that of the Mauler. And then take the full clip for that overcharge shot. And then just increase the damage on those single shots. I think that's how it needs to be done. Someone asked how close you have to be to get a kill with the Mauler. I don't remember actually ever seeing a number with that. I could do a quick search on it. But it was pretty close. You had to pretty much be up in their grill in order to get a kill with the Mauler.
Yeah.
And even then, it wasn't always that one shot kill, it was most of the time you had the Mauler and you meleeed. Like, you, I think you literally had to be on top of them in order to get the Mauler kill.
Tap and slap.
Yeah. So
I do that with the shotgun too, though. Like, just a normal human shotgun.
Yeah, and the fact that the bolt shot had, or it seemed like it had an effective range that was greater than the shotgun, that really ticked me off as well. Because even now, if you put someone with... Okay, that's an experiment I want to try. Put the bolt shot up against someone with a shotgun and see if how those ranges are compared to each other. There should be no way that the bolt shot would be close to a shotgun or a scatter shot, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, even logically, the shotgun having the longer barrel would be more accurate. The spread wouldn't be nearly as wide as it would on the bolt shot.
Right.
So it would make no sense for the bolt shot to, you know, even be close to the range of a shotgun.
Right. I know the big focus on this whole weapon balancing was for the precision weapons and the automatic weapons, but I still highly believe and feel that the bolt shot is still not balanced the way it needs to be. It still needs to be nerfed. Anyways, moving on. The saw has gotten an update. I don't remember if we actually heard about this getting an update for this weapon tuning or not. Do you remember hearing about this at all, Brent?
I don't remember. They might have mentioned it, and it just kind of faded from memory.
Maybe.
I mean, the saw is a cool weapon, but it's kind of a forgettable weapon. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll use it if it's there, but...
Right.
It just doesn't seem like when you get a kill with it, it's an awesome kill. It just seems like an assault rifle kill that took half as long to accomplish.
Well, I mean, if you read the update, it says the damage has been increased to maintain the double the damage per second of the assault rifle.
Yeah, so now it's even more awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to pick it up every time I see it now. Because if it's doubling the damage of the assault rifle, and the assault rifle's already getting kicked up in damage, you know, I can only imagine.
Yeah,
the
saw's going to tear through people like crazy.
Be a real saw, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I can imagine getting an overkill with this thing. Like, that'd be awesome. Just four people, like, all running at you at the same time. Just...
That'd be crazy.
Go all Tony Montana on them.
It doesn't take long to take people out with the saw either. It takes almost 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's... I mean, it's not, like, something that sticks out compared to the other things that have gotten updated, but it's good to see that they maintain that balance between what it has been and what it will be compared to the assault rifle.
It's still a power weapon.
Yep. For the Magnum, the damage has been slightly increased. The Magnum is still capable of killing in 6 rounds. So this was one that, when they explained it on the stream, didn't make much sense to me. They said that even though it's still 6 rounds, that when you go up against somebody, like if you have a group of you using Magnums, then it takes people out easier. And that's not exactly true if all the Magnums are the same, I would think, but... I think what they meant to say on the stream was if you're going up against other teammate or other opponents and you have teammates along with you with other weapons, that the slight damage increase will help take out the players just a little bit faster. Yeah. So if you're using just the Magnum, it's not going to really make much of an it's not going to have any different effect on it. But if you're doing it in tandem with other people helping kill the guy, then it's going to be possibly slightly faster. Possibly.
Well, also the idea of the Magnum being a sidearm. You know, when you run out of bullets in your primary weapon and you don't want to reload because that would take too long, you switch to your Magnum to go for the headshot, and I assume that this would help you in that kind of situation.
Probably.
Also, you know, you don't always run up on enemies with full shields. A lot of the time, you know, they're running away from another encounter.
That's so true, too.
Not a huge buff, but it's there.
No. I'm sure it has some significant change in the game, at least from what they've done with playtesting, but right now, yeah, okay. They made the change. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
For vehicles, we talked about this one a little bit last time. The damage has been increased on both the Mantis and the Warthog chain gun. Now, last time they said it was a 35% increase in damage, which is huge.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they're maintaining that damage or if they're changing it a little bit based on what people played, but if I remember right, the stream didn't really show any vehicle play, so this one is kind of on a whim. We're pretty much trusting 343 here on what they've done with the vehicles, at least with the Mantis and the Warthog. That's pretty much it for the weapon tuning side. There's a couple other balancing things that they've done to the game as well, and I'm not... For this next one, I'm still not sure why they're doing this, but they've said that they're moving or changing the base player movement speed from 100% to 110% across all playlists and modes.
Well, as you know, Dustin, one of the main complaints with Halo 4 was that it was too slow.
I know, right? And now it's just getting even faster.
Oh, I mean, it's not like it's a huge increase. It's not like people are going at like 200% speed, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, one of the main complaints that people had, and not everybody, I mean, it was kind of an objective thing, but
it was,
you know,
most people.
Halo has been traditionally a slower first-person shooter than other first-person shooters like Unreal Tournament and, you know, Call of Duty, things like that. And Halo 4, like, really increased the speed of gameplay in multiplayer. The instant respawns, sprint, just, you know, the weapon loadouts and stuff like that. And I don't understand what problem they are trying to address by bumping up the speed by 10%.
I don't get it
unless
either.
It's a weapon thing.
I don't see any reason to do it, though.
Maybe they found that their precision weapons were too accurate, and by increasing the speed, you can make players less accurate because they have to move their reticule more. I don't know. That's the best guess I have.
Maybe?
I mean, there's got to be a reason. They didn't just like, hey man, you know what would be really cool? Just like 10% increase. Whatever.
I mean, I'm sure they've play tested it, but still, bumping the speed up when a good portion of the Halo community was complaining on how fast it was to begin with? I mean, we've already bumped up the damage on all the weapons, so the killing is going to go a lot faster, and now we're having people run into battles a lot faster too?
Oh man. It's going to be... I mean, I can't imagine the
10%. It's going to be chaos.
I don't think the 10% is going to be that big of a deal. It's going to be like absolute chaos, like Laser Cat style, but...
I mean, no, it's not going to be absolute chaos, but...
Doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I don't understand what the improvement is. I'll have to play it, you know, to make that judgment call, but...
I don't know why it needs to be faster. And I've been saying throughout the podcast recently that they need to go back to the roots of Halo, and it seems like they're kind of doing some of the stuff in the right ways, at least with trying to balance out the BR, but this speed increase, that just doesn't make much sense, and there's no justification that we can see for it right now immediately. I mean, maybe when it comes out, it may make more sense, but it right now it just doesn't seem like something that was like a decision based on anything that's currently out there. My personal opinion.
Yeah. I just want to correct myself. Earlier I said objective when I said earlier I should have said subjective. And I felt stupid after doing that.
Oh. Oops.
Just throwing that out there. In case somebody wanted to go into the comments and tell me. We never have that though. We never have anybody in the comments ever correct us.
No, not really.
Well, I mean, I think we've had like a couple corrections.
Yeah, we have.
The past, like, 50 episodes. So that's pretty good.
But it's just little things like, when you said this in the podcast, when you should have said this, it's more topical stuff, not necessarily correcting our grammar. Because we know the grammar that we get for submissions is so great.
Grammar is fun. Especially in English. We have an amazing language.
It's an interesting one, especially with what people can do with that language.
Yes. The errors that we can make.
Yep.
So
that's pretty much it for the actual weapon tuning stuff. So that'll drop on June 3rd, which is this coming Monday. Again, we won't be doing matchmaking, Monday night matchmaking. We'll be standing on the sidelines, patiently waiting to partake in the community play date as well. So we encourage you guys to do the same. And again, that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. So make sure you check that out. Matchmaking playlist update. The Slayer Pro game mode in Big Team Infinity Slayer is now going to have an assault rifle loadout. So that's going to be interesting with the damage bump and the a little bit more accurate burst of or spread of the rounds for the assault rifles. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
I guess the assault rifle, I see it used quite a bit in Slayer. Big Team Infinity Slayer and Infinity Slayer, which is what these loadouts are being added to. So I guess we'll see what happens there.
I don't see it being as useful in Big Team, just because of the map size.
Well, there are certain situations where it becomes handy, especially when you're fighting against people in vehicles. And that's one thing that's still kind of on the edge for me is like the damage that the weapons can do to vehicles compared to past Halo games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The global skill searching or the CSR matching is being, or the duration is being increased. So that time it takes to match up with people that are similar to your skill rank is now a little bit longer to match up people. They say that's basically to help match up with optimal opponents on either side, but honestly, I think it's a reaction to just how the population of Halo 4 is dropping as well. I think it's kind of a dual purpose on that, which is, it's unfortunate. I mean, with how Halo just unfortunately got delivered, it wasn't in a good position to stay too long. I mean, we still have numbers in the game, but it's where Halo Reach held a 2 and 3 position for a while, I think Halo 4 is down. It's been floating between 4 and 6. So I think that's kind of also a response to that, where it's like making sure you actually get a good match with how fewer people are in the game.
Get a quick match.
Which sucks, but I mean, you got to kind of adjust to how the people are actually playing the game now. For Capture the Flag, the overtime period has been increased from 1 minute to 2 minutes.
Yay! I actually enjoy that. That's something that I approve of. Overtime needed to be longer. Like, 1 minute is rarely
enough time. It's way too short.
To actually score in overtime, so.
Even on small maps like a Drift, 2 or 1 minute isn't really enough time. Because you still have to go battle for the flag and then try to get the flag.
Yeah.
So, let's see. King of the Hill, the point limit for the hills have been increased from 25 to 50 points, and the score to win has been increased from 150 points to 250 points. So I have always felt that the King of the Hill hills have always been too short, that they didn't last long enough. And I'm happy to see that this change is being implemented, because while hills in Reach were actually done on time basis of the game, they were 60 seconds. So these hills are still controlled by how long a player is in the hill, but the fact that it's now 25 to 50, I think that's a good change in the right direction.
Well, the main problem is that, you know, right now it makes more sense, you know, after a certain point to just run off and go to a different location that you think the hill might appear next, instead of actually trying to fight for the current hill. And
right.
Increasing this is going to make it to where there's actually incentive to fight for whatever hill is active at the time.
So I guess I have a quick question for you, and this may end up being our question of the week. For the King of the Hill stuff, would you rather have it how it's currently done, where it only ticks time when people are in the hill, or would you like to see that game time hill where it's strictly 60 seconds and you go for the hill during that time? Like, which way to you is the right way to play King of the Hill? And chat room, same question to you if you want to answer.
I really don't care either way, to be honest with you. If I just had to choose, probably timed hills, where it's not actually, you don't score the entire hill point total and then it switches over. It's just on its own timer.
Yeah.
That seems to be more enjoyable for me personally, but I mean, either way, it doesn't seem like a huge difference, because generally somebody is in the hill at all times. Generally. I mean, the amount of time in between, you know, hill transfers is extremely short if the two teams actually know what they're doing.
True, but there are times it also heavily depends on the map too, but there are times where you have teams just going back and forth, like that Forged one on Erosion, I forget what it's called, but that one where the A-Hill is in the middle, kind of tower area, that one would always take a good while to get because you just have people jumping in.
Yeah.
So, kind of like depending on the map would kind of determine where you would want to either use that, you have to be in the hill to take it down, or it's just actual time expiration going on the hill instead.
I think I'd still like the time expiration. I mean, it's just more consistent.
Well, and it keeps the game kind of dynamic. Like, you're moving between different places. You're not having to really deal with one hill getting stuck over another. And it keeps the game moving. It keeps it to where people are still on their toes, having to move between different hills. That's just my opinion. Let's see. Majestic DLC playlist is making a comeback, and it's going to take over the place of the Forge Island playtest playlist. So that one's going away. The custom maps that have been in that playtest, that playlist, are being pulled out, going back to the respective forgers, and being tweaked and updated to possibly be included into the current set of matchmaking playlists. So those are being pulled back. We're getting our Majestic DLC back. And that will be... I haven't played those maps in a while. Played Skyline the other day during our customs, but that's... I haven't really played much in terms of DLC lately. So, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. There's also some other little changes going across the board for our matchmaking that's including new ordnance locations, new weapon drops, updated starting and objective spawns, different forge objects, team spawns, lifts, all that stuff is kind of being changed across a lot of the maps. They mentioned specifically that Haven now uses red and blue spawns, lift and colors halls, and Abandon has crates and overshields. Some other little updates in there as well. So that's pretty much it for the matchmaking playlist update. So make sure you hit up again the community playdate on Monday. We will not be doing Monday night matchmaking, but we possibly make it up the week after. We will see. The screenshots for this week are categorized for Flood, and these are actually pretty cool. Most of these I like. Compared to some of the other sets that we've had, this is a good set of screenshots, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, images of the Flood are just basically cool by themselves.
Yeah,
I could take a screenshot of the Flood doing anything and it would probably be cool. But yeah, these are awesome. Good looking screenshots. I already know which one's my favorite, but
I'm torn between a couple. I am torn between just the beginning and Spore. I honestly
my favorite. Well,
I'm having a hard time picking between those two. Deluge is a good one. It's Time is a good one. The Flood's a good one. Shaping Sickness is a good one. The Smile Haunts is a good one. What I Have Become is a good one. Reminds me of Green Skull, Glows. I mean, these are all good. But between all of them, Spore and Just the Beginning are like the two that really stick out to me because it has that kind of eerie green, kind of infectious look to them.
At first, I thought the Flood was my favorite. I just like those colors. I like that green, you know, juxtaposed against the purple. Then you get the Flood, and they're all kind of red and shiny and stuff. But I don't know. I like Deluge. It's got that kind of film noir look. And I like the kind of, I don't know, it's got a very photographic appearance to it. Like a film kind of still.
Yeah,
know.
It does. Like an old-timey black and white film kind of thing.
Yeah.
It does. And I mean, these, compared to some of the other sets of screenshots that we've seen, this is by far one of my favorite sets.
Yeah. It's a good set. I think people were just excited that they could finally show off their Flood screenshots. I mean, the other categories are kind of just random or whatever, you know. Space, whatever. Space.
Yeah, but space.
The Flood space. Is space. The Flood is just awesome. People enjoy the Flood. You know, you can say whatever you want about the game type and actually having to fight the Flood in the games, but the idea of the Flood, the concept of the Flood, the design of the Flood, people really enjoy that.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
We have a couple questions in the chat. Giles Live wanted to know why 343 was taken out of the Community Forge playtest playlist. They've done this with past Forge maps as well, where they've had the playlist out for 2 weeks just testing the maps, and then they pull it back. They've done that with the past ones, and they're going to continue to do that, where they're basically just testing out the maps, seeing what people think. They have threads on their forums for people to actually go and leave feedback on the maps, and they, I think in some cases they like rate the maps. And then we've actually seen them be incorporated into playlists. So it's not like you're not going to see these maps again. Mostly good maps out of the set are going to come back. These are just the chances for 343 to evaluate out of the ones that they think are the best ones to include into future matchmaking playlists. So that's why they take it out. Alice's Pieces also wanted to know, what about Crimson DLC? Halo traditionally has had the latest DLC as a playlist on its own. It's never been something where it's been DLC across the board, but it's been the latest DLC pack. It would be interesting to see, I guess, a playlist where you had to have all the DLC and you played only DLC maps that could be that set. I don't think we've actually had a playlist quite like that. I think it's always been a certain DLC specifically, not necessarily all DLC maps. And I mean, sorry, not all DLC maps, but exclusively DLC maps. I don't think we've seen something right like that, except I guess Reach is kind of in kind of a different case because you did have the anniversary playlist. But that one's kind of finicky. I don't know if that one really counts or not. Okay. But you said Majestic. Oh, wait, that's good point. Alice just corrected me. I did say Majestic was coming back as DLC, as the DLC playlist. So that's the second one. So yeah, that's right. I take that back. I guess I was wrong. Sorry guys. Yeah, the Majestic one's the second one. I thought, for some reason, it was the latest one. The latest one's actually Castle. So, I don't know. I guess people have gotten their fill of Castle, and now they want to see something different. But yeah, I completely messed that up. I'm sorry, Alice. Piece of disregard what I said for the last 5 minutes. but yes, I did read it right. It is Majestic DLC that is coming back to the matchmaking playlist, but it is not the latest set of DLC. It is the second DLC pack that was made by... Or it's the first one made by a certain affinity. It's the second DLC pack out of all the Reach. First one was Crimson, second one Majestic, third one Castle. So yes, thank you for catching me and thank you for correcting me. And that's, people, is why we do the live stream. That's why we have people in the chat helping us.
I know. Our show is a lot more factually accurate now.
I know, right?
Doing the Twitch.
I mean, most of the time we can pull it on our own, but every now and then when I mess up royally like that, it is nice to have people that are like, And wake up, reread what you just said. So thank you, Alice's Pieces. It's like we have our own panel. Yeah, exactly.
Our own Halopedia.
I know, right? So awesome.
Waiting on hand.
All right, to the submissions. Or first of all, the question of the week. On a side note, we do have a voicemail pending in our inbox. We will play it next week. But just with how unprepared I was and how I got distracted with YouTube before the podcast, didn't have time to incorporate it, so we'll play it next week. But for the question of the week, the question that we posed last week, thanks to the Xbox reveal, was, what would you like to see the Halo TV series cover in the Halo universe? Got quite the response, so we're just going to go through these, and then we'll hit our submissions up at the end. So the first one, first set of these are coming from Twitter. At Purple Haze says, he wants to see something like the Game of Thrones, several different stories in the Halo universe that all take place at the same time.
I would like that.
I mean, that could be like a number of different situations, like how Thursday War is going right now. You see, I'll try won't that spoil it too much, but you see about four or five different angles like two of which are UNSC and two of which are elites, and possibly another angle from time to time. So I'm guessing you want, I think most videos or most movies do it that way. I guess you just want like more different locations within a storyline, I guess, because I mean how some movies and books do it is like you have four or five different focal points onto around the story, but I know reading Games of Thrones, it's a little bit more difficult because you have like seven or eight different locations that you're keeping track of. So I'm guessing he wants like a lot more locations involved with something like this. Is that kind of how you feel that what he's trying to say?
Yeah, like a bunch of different stories all surrounding one narrative that ends up combining those stories into an overarching kind of story. I don't know. It's different. A lot of stories do that, but they do it in different ways. I don't know if he's like thinking of that way or kind of like the Halo graphic novel, which is a whole bunch of different stories that have nothing to do with each other.
Like Halo Legends. I was going to say Halo Legends. It's funny that we both said that.
I've just noticed that the stories I enjoy the most tend to be the ones that have a single narrative with the same characters in the same setting. Not necessarily the same setting, but just the same characters all working towards the same goal with different motives. Just seems to be more coherent. But yeah, I'm sure they're going to do the Halo TV series well. They're not going to produce this and make it awful.
We've already seen what they can.
Forward Unto Dawn is amazing. Like, out of all of the Halo lore, Forward Unto Dawn is my favorite piece of multimedia in the Halo universe. It's good stuff. So if they do more of that and kind of tap into the human element, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I think so too. Although, I personally wouldn't mind seeing the sides of the elites as well. Like, I know people had a bad rap on the Halo 2 campaign, at least for some people, but I enjoyed seeing that dynamic back and forth between what was going on the UNSC side and then what was going on the Covenant side. Like, I know it's supposed to be all gung-ho for humans and all, but it's nice to see that other side of the story. It's nice to see what's going on from the other dude's perspective.
Well, that was the fun part in Halo 2 when you get to play the Arbiter.
Yeah.
You know, you finally get to kind of see the Covenant side of what's going on. I would definitely like that. I would like to, in the games, go back to that. Like, play as an elite.
So would I.
That'd be good stuff.
Be interesting to play as Jewel.
Yeah.
I don't think at this point with how they built the character that it would be a good choice, but...
Play as the Didact. That would be
strange. That would be horrible. That would be probably one of the worst ideas you could probably come up with.
Yeah, it would. It would be awful. Can I interject right here? Giles in the chat wants me to say Wheat Thins.
Okay.
So Wheat Thins.
All right. Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins.
Wheat.
Wheat.
He also has a question down in the chat, but we'll get to that here after we go through this question of the week. So,
all right.
You want to do the next one?
Yep. Halo Fan for Life says, the UNSC war against insurrectionists. No aliens, a rare glimpse of Spartans, and a very human war. Younger Halsey, maybe.
Very interesting. So, this would basically be before Forward Unto Dawn.
Right. With the insurrectionists kind of showing off the war before. Like, I would reckon that most Halo fans, like, even, like, casual and even some who would consider themselves hardcore but simply don't know about the fiction, have no idea that there was this entire war that humans were waging, you know, against each other prior to the Human Covenant War. And it was a massive thing. Like, they probably don't even know that the Spartan program was born out of that conflict. So, you know, finally showing, like, they only kind of mention it in passing in Forward Unto Dawn. They don't even really get into it that much.
Right. Well, I mean, no, well, it's a pretty big topic for the first two episodes of Forward Unto Dawn, where they're talking about insurrectionists and that one guy was snooping on UNSC footage.
Yeah, but it quickly becomes kind of a side note. Like, it's kind of important in the beginning. They kind of set it up like it's important, and it's important because it has to do with Cadman. But
it's a big topic.
But I don't think a lot of Halo fans. I mean, you got to realize,
right? A lot of Halo fans don't appreciate necessarily from that either. But I'm saying it was a dominant thought in the series. But yeah, I can agree with you where there's still a good amount of Halo players and Halo fans that don't see the perspective that the Spartan program was actually designed to crush human resistance.
Right. And I think even if you watched Forward Unto Dawn and you understood that there was a war against the insurrectionists,
you don't get the full impact of how bad it actually was.
You need to see that conflict. You need to see the other side.
I mean, you read about it from some of the books, but
that's probably what I would enjoy most. Like, if Halo TV was going to get made, I'm with Halo Fan for Life. I would want to see stuff from the insurrectionist conflict.
That would definitely be one of the things I would like to see.
Yep.
That time before we encountered the Covenant. And possibly up until that point. Contact Harvest. Like, yep. Do a movie that's similar, or do the TV show that's kind of similar to that.
Well, that was a big point in Forward Unto Dawn, was that you had these cadets that knew nothing about the Covenant. The existence of the Covenant was hidden from them, covered up. And they thought that they were just in a conflict with other humans, and all of a sudden, you know, these aliens come out of nowhere, and they're like,
"Yeah, but that's
like
a centralized location." What they could do with the TV series is actually jump around from place to place.
Yeah.
So
it would be wrong to do it. I'm saying I would. That would be a good like breaking off point, like for the end of the series. Like, hey, here's this whole conflict, and you've watched it over how many seasons they're gonna do. But then none of it matters because here comes this superior alien race that is going to screw humanity over. Mm-hmm. Like,
right. No, I think it would be a fantastic move to go back to that insurrectionist age, see the expanse of the human population as they go and colonize other planets, and then see how the Covenant actually enter into the Halo universe. So I think that would be what a lot of people would really be able to get into, is something like that. Next one comes from Insane Cakes. He says he would like to see the run-up of the Green Lightning of Spartan 2 project so that you can see how desperate the UNSC is getting to allow it. So kind of along the same lines as Halo Fans for Life, where they see the dawn of the Spartan 2 project, seeing Halsey go around and actually pick up the Spartans. So basically kind of diving in a little bit in between the lines of the very beginnings of the Fall of Reach. So,
and that could easily tie into the insurrectionist story we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I think those kind of actually go hand in hand, actually.
I mean, they do. I mean, mm-hmm. the Spartan 2 project.
Well, I feel that for a Halo TV show, you have to have Spartans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be pointless. I mean,
yeah.
Halo is about Spartans.
It is. While there are other things that aren't necessarily Spartan related, like Contact Harvest for one of the books and Cole Protocol and a couple others, I think for the massive audience, you have to have Spartans in there. Next one.
All right. Something Machine says, this will probably sound funny, but not Master Chief. I think HTV should show different stories while the games follow MC, in my own opinion.
So it was done pretty well in Forward Unto Dawn, I think.
Yeah.
Now I
he
wouldn't mind
up and
seeing.
He's awesome.
Exactly. He was kicking butt. I wouldn't mind seeing some of the other Spartan 2s. There were lots of them out there. Granted, not as many as Spartan 4s or Spartan 3s, but it would be cool to actually see like Kelly and Linda and Kurt and Fred and all those other Spartans actually be represented again. Some of them were in Forward Unto Dawn, but there are quite a few others that weren't. So yeah, I think that'd be fine, not seeing necessarily Master Chief, but it does need some kind of Spartans in there, obviously.
I enjoyed the way they portrayed the Master Chief in Forward Unto Dawn almost better than I like it in the games. He talks a lot more. He's got kind of a... He seems more human, I guess. less robotic.
Yeah. Let's see. Next one comes from, well, Guan Den. I think that's how you say his name. I never know how you say his name. He says, what, Guan Den?
That's a great
or Wagwan Den, something.
That's good stuff.
Origins of the Flood. If they don't, then I hope they put it into one of the next games. So Origin of the Flood goes back even beyond the Greg Bear novels. And
yes,
right now, I don't think that has a good enough taste in people's mouths, at least from people that have read the books, to actually go for something that's still quite as new as putting Halo on TVs and over the airwaves, to actually go something that's that in-depth, that's only going to really appeal to the really hardcore of Halo fans. I don't think that's something that you want to do with a TV show.
Well, also, it's kind of one of the last big mysteries in Halo.
True.
We know a little bit about it, but we don't know a whole lot about the precursors and kind of their role in creating the Flood, or even the purpose of the Flood, really. You know, originally in the Halo games, you know, Halos 1, 2, and 3, kind of the mystery was surrounding the Forerunners. Like, you didn't really know anything about the Forerunners. We didn't know what they looked like, didn't know anything about their culture. We just knew the little bit that we got from the terminals, mainly in Halo 3. You got to see their architecture in Halos 1 and 2. But other than that, you just kind of had to piece together what you thought they were in your mind. And then the Greg Bear novels kind of knocked all of that away and said, here, this is actually what it was like. And I think for a lot of Halo fans, I mean, personally, myself, like, that kind of ruined it in a little bit. I mean, I understand that they needed to clear some of that stuff up, but I enjoyed the fact that the Forerunners were kind of mysterious. And now that mystery's gone. But the Flood are still pretty much a mystery, because even to the Forerunners, they weren't really sure exactly who created the Flood or why. It's about the precursor stuff that we still don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're dancing right around that precursor stuff. Yep.
Yep. So,
and that's something completely different that, I mean, it hasn't been touched much in the Halo universe. That's kind of like one of those last secrets of the Halo franchise that we still don't really know anything about. Although, the Greg Bear does touch on it in one of the books.
Yeah.
So, and I still have yet to read Silentium. I'm still trying to finish Thursday War. So, that's a whole nother can of worms. Next one.
All right. Andrew Gagnon says, diverse areas of the universe not yet beaten to death, but with continuity of regular cast to tie it in. So, basically just parts of the universe that we haven't heard of yet.
So, like, other battles of UNSC and Covenant going on, maybe? I mean, there was that one... Was it Cole Protocol? Where they actually had the other Spartan team?
I'm not sure.
No. What book was it? There was another book where there was like a gray team. I forget which book it is. Dang it. But there was one insurrectionist, or one dude on one of these asteroids with kind of an insurrectionist gang, and then there was this Spartan Gray team that went out and did silent missions. And they're basically out there on their own, and then they got missions in. And chat, help me out here if you guys know what I'm talking about. People are saying Cold Protocol as well. So I think it was in Cold Protocol where Gray team was in. But you could have those kind of side stories where some of these other Spartan fire teams, not necessarily the one that John was in, you could go follow them on some of their missions. So it'd be stuff like that, I guess, is what he's trying to get at. Which would be cool. It'd be nice to see some of the other stuff within the current times that's not necessarily directly tied to the events of Halos, but is actually a significant part of the Human Covenant War. So
I'd kind of like to see, like, the inner workings of Oni.
Ooh, that would be... That'd be really, really juicy.
That'd be a cool TV series.
I don't know if the TV series is the best way to do that, though. I mean, it would be cool, but I don't know if that's the best way to do it. I guess it could be done. I think if you were to do it in a TV show, though, a lot of people would not necessarily be attracted to it as much. I think.
Well, too bad. They're making it exclusively for me. Just me.
Okay. All right.
That's why they hired Steven Spielberg. Actually, I kind of disagreed with the decision to go with Spielberg, but I guess now would be the time to talk about that. Maybe.
We can.
I'll make it quick. Here's the deal. I don't understand why you would spend all of that money on Spielberg when, first of all, he has nothing to prove at this point. So, I mean, it's not like he's super ambitious. Like, this isn't the project that's going to make his career. Like, his career's already made. He already has a ton of money. And he's probably expensive, like crazy expensive to get. So you get him on there. Like, the only game that I know he ever worked on was he was like the main director on a game called Boom Blocks for Wii. And it had no story, and you just threw balls at blocks, and it knocked animals off the blocks, and they fell over kind of Angry Birds style. Like, that's what I'm saying, though. It's not like he's crazy ambitious anymore, because he's got all this money, he's got all this legacy. He doesn't have to be. Like, you could take all of that money you're spending on Steven Spielberg and put it towards some sort of new, you know, kind of fresh blood director who has everything to prove, who is crazy less expensive, and, you know, will actually try to put in a good effort to making this show something that will be part of his legacy as a director. That's it.
Let me put this twist on it. We have seen Spielberg kind of interact with Halo before when they were with Bungie. I think a good part of it is he truly enjoys Halo. I don't think it's something that 343 just went out and it's like, we want you specifically Spielberg. It's probably something where Spielberg was a big fan of Halo and they just wanted to do this. And he took it when they offered it to him. He probably said yes because he likes it. Yes, Pence, he's an executive producer. Or he is the executive producer. But I don't think it's something where they were basically just going out and it's like, we want Spielberg. I think it was something, honestly, where Spielberg is truly interested in Halo and has a genuine interest of doing this.
James Cameron should take all of the money he's spending on Avatar 2 and transfer it over into the Halo series. He's got all of these assets. You know, he's got all the production crew from Avatar. And Avatar's, like, all of the space stuff in that was basically, you know, Aliens meets Battlestar or Starship Troopers meets Halo. So you just take all of that and you make the Halo TV show. It's that simple.
Yeah, but do you know if he is interested in Halo Steven Spielberg is? Probably not.
It's probably not at all. But I'm just saying, I'm not saying Spielberg's going to be awful. I'm just saying he's probably expensive. Maybe he's not. Maybe I'm just, I have no clue what I'm talking about, and he's like, he's doing this, you know, at cost for himself. I mean, that's great. I mean, you don't work on things that you don't enjoy. I mean, any director or producer, I mean, if you didn't enjoy the franchise, why would you want to work on it in the first place?
Exactly.
You know, so I'm not saying that he's going to make it awful. Like, I expect good stuff from the Halo TV show. It's going to be good. I don't know if it was money well spent to get Spielberg, because I don't know how much money they spent on him. But, you know, he is probably the greatest director of the 20th and 21st century. That's commonly accepted.
Right, even though
he's a great director.
Even though there's a group of them that really don't like him for some reason.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the general consensus is that Spielberg is one of the best, if not the best.
Right.
And, you know, when you're that good, you don't come cheap, generally. Just generally speaking. Now, maybe he's got enough money to where he doesn't have to charge a whole lot anymore, and he's just doing this out of the kindness of his heart and his love of Halo. If that's the case, then that's great. Like, that's fantastic. That's awesome. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
I'm beating a dead horse.
No, you bring up a good point, and I honestly haven't heard many people talk about that specifically, but it's I think people, I mean, they have their own opinions on that, and I think that we've presented enough info here for people to make their own decisions on it. And I think, I mean, it's all good stuff. It's all Halo talk, so not going to stop it. The next one comes from Christopher Tanarly. He says, "The Return of the Spirit of Fire, XD." So, we know the Spirit of Fire was supposedly lost in space. So, yeah, haha, very funny. I'll do the next one since that one was short. Ian Shepherd, he says, "I want to see an accuracy in fact of Nyland's novels."
Yeah, people complained about that with Reach, not really tying into the fall of Reach that well.
Oh yeah, they're definitely things that were not matching up, and they've even come out and said that they didn't match up. And to me, the books will be canon because they did come out first.
Well, I mean, and the narrative is just more detailed. You get a better sense of that conflict from the book than you do the game.
Yeah. They tried to make... there was those 6 Oni drops, those data drops, that they used to try to help bridge the gap, but I don't think that was really enough to justify saying that, yes, we fixed the issues. But, yeah, I don't want to see anything that's going to screw up the Halo franchise as it currently stands, if that's what he's getting at.
Jason Hammer says, "Contact Harvest, Ghosts of Onyx, or The Fall of Reach."
So this one might be a touchy subject because we don't necessarily want to overlap stuff, trying to cover it in multiple media things. I mean, if you do a movie for The Fall of Reach and you're going to end up doing one for First Contact, and you're going to end up doing one for Ghosts of Onyx, and you're going to end up doing one for the books, I think what you need to do for the TV shows and the movies is you need to find something that's going to add to the Halo universe, not necessarily regurgitate and retell of a story. Now, it would be cool to actually see it play out visually. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I think that 343 is going to go in the direction of creating new content, not necessarily rehashing old stuff.
Yeah. I would prefer new content.
I would
enjoy
well.
New stuff.
Yeah. Josh Laidlaw, he says, "The beginning of the Human Covenant War covering key figures of the Human and Covenant factions. For example, it'd be interesting to see the leaders of the UNSC and Oni's response to the new Covenant threat and the bureaucratic chaos that ensued." So basically, that kind of time after, or in between Contact Harvest and The Fall of Reach, I guess is what he would be looking at. Or, yeah, including Contact Harvest. And then he kind of threw in that Oni perspective that you were talking about earlier, Brent.
Yeah, going from, you know, fighting humans, the enemy you know, to fighting the enemy you don't know. You know, fighting the Covenant is infinitely different than fighting insurrectionists.
Right.
So that'd be a big shift for any military outlet.
And on this topic to the bureaucratic chaos thing, having the Cole Protocol as part of that would be interesting. Seeing how the Cole Protocol actually gets developed and put into essentially law.
Trisket Cracker says, "Hello, PodTac. Excellent show on the Xbox One reveal with the community. Microsoft did some things right and some crucial things wrong, of course, but I'm super excited for the Halo TV series. I think they shouldn't make it exclusive to Xbox Live, however. They should get Halo on as many TV sets as possible. Ideas for a show. Number one. Follow a group of Marines on the surface of Halo, a band of brothers, as they attempt to simultaneously fend off the Covenant and discover the secrets of the Halo ring. Master Chief will occasionally cameo, and they'll witness him doing something amazing. Has military aspects, shooting, and camaraderie, plus a great sense of wondrous discovery, and every now and then you get to see MC kick ass."
So you basically want to see the book The Flood.
Yep.
I'm going to already say no to that one, to be honest. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the black sheep of the Halo novel family.
Yeah, and half of that book is already played out in Halo 1, so...
I mean, that's why it's the black sheep. That's why people don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, no offense to your post. Thanks for putting that first idea in, but that's not going to happen. Sorry.
Number 2, the story of a young Master Chief and other Spartan 2s as they deal with insurrectionists. How they deal with human opponents morally and physically and have flashbacks as to how they were created and the implications of their kidnapping and molding into the super soldiers they are. Season 1 could end with the Covenant invasion.
Hmm.
So kind of what some other people were suggesting.
Yeah. I think this was. I think this is pretty unanimous across the board where we want to see insurrectionist in the lead up to the beginning of the Human Covenant War.
Right.
Well, I think we got a good population of we got good polling. We should send this off to Jess and be like, here, this is what you need to work on. Here, here, here.
Like, we've had this script ready for, like, months now. Like, we can't do this. Or maybe they have done it. Who knows? Number three, the Arbiter's story. And also the Covenants. This is the least likely show, obviously, but it would be neat to see exactly how the Covenant works on a day-to-day basis and how they trade, interact, fall in love, how they see the humans, their forerunner religion, battles with other species who don't want to join, etc.
So depending on what they do with the Halo TV series, there have been shows where you have kind of these one-off shows that don't really necessarily relate to the bigger picture, but they are still part of the universe. So I could see possibly doing an episode like that where you go and look at the Sangheili and kind of how their day-to-day lives go. And if they do it during the times of the insurrectionists and before the human come to war, it could be their life before that they encountered us when they were part of the Covenant.
Yeah. I don't think people really get a good sense of what it's like to be a Covenant member, you know, except for the Halo 2 Arbiter stuff, but
yeah,
it'd be an odd show. It'd be weird. I don't think, I mean, he's obviously right. They're not going to make that the conceit of their Halo TV show. Because they want to have Spartans on there, but
it wouldn't be like the main focus of it, but it would be interesting to see that just be a storyline within the TV series. I depending on what they do, if that wouldn't offend me. I wouldn't mind seeing it as long as the baseline of the actual series overall.
Yeah, I don't think you could do that well.
No. No, I don't think you could at all.
His fourth idea, Red versus Blue Season 11 show with MC, Arbiter, Truth, Tartarus, Cortana, and a grunt set in Blood Gulch, with Red versus Blue trying to get them all to take sides. Seriously, I'd watch it.
So you basically want Digital Fear's Master Chief thing just kind of a little bit more in real life in Red versus Blue, folks. I think they're going to go a little bit more serious route on this one.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, it'd be funny. But I guess you don't really know. But I have a feeling with how they presented it at the Xbox reveal that it's going to be something serious with Spielberg at the helm of this thing.
When they actually had their conference, I suggested that they should make a slice of life sitcom with Master Chief. I'd watch that, kind of like Everybody Loves Raymond style.
I don't know if it really fits into the attitude of Halo and how Master Chief.
Oh, it doesn't. Works, though. That's why I would want it.
Oh, okay.
It's so incredibly absurd.
All right. Okay. I see what you did there. So that's it for all of our responses to the question of the week. So thank you guys for sending in your responses via Twitter, Facebook, and submission to our email. We have a couple more to go through, a couple of novels in here as well. First one comes from Penn's Halo. He writes to us saying, hey guys, I just wanted to say how much I enjoy your podcast. I try not to miss a live podcast because I can tell how much you enjoy it, even with more serious things like the Gamma Sutra article and how much passion you guys have for Halo, both in-game and universe. I want to respond to the question of the week about what you would like to see in the Halo TV. Because the Halo universe is so vast and spans such a long time, I would like to see them approach it like novelettes or short stories. No one arc would be longer than 3 to 5 episodes. You could see the short story Dirt come to life and then see an arc about what the Arbiter is doing now. I'd also like to see some of the items hinted at in the games and novels. What were the circumstances that led to Halsey and Keyes to enter a relationship that ended up with Miranda's birth? How did Palmer and Lasky meet? What happened to the rookie after the Battle of New Mombasa? How did Buck and Dare end up together and the circumstances of their separation? That one is just wish to see Nathan Fillion and Tricia Helfer back in Halo. Or how do the Spartan 2s view the Spartan 4s? I was thinking to tie all the stories together would start each episode on Cairo Station, maybe by the station AIs, to introduce us to whatever characters whose perspective would be seeing in the story arc. These would not need to be one of the main characters, but I think there has to be a recognizable character from the Halo universe to keep people drawn into the story arc. Another thing that would be interesting would be during the intro scene of one story scene is to see one of the others in the background of the main scene. Thanks for taking my submission, and I hope I didn't ramble too much. Keep up the good work. I think for the TV series, they're not going to be doing something that's short and broken up. It's going to be one focused storyline that they're going to be doing for the TV series, like a proper TV series, kind of like something like a Fringe or Warehouse 13 or kind
Aqua of Teen Hunger Force. Just a
I was going to say no, not like those. I was thinking I was going to start rattling off my sci-fi ones that I watch, like Fringe, Stargate, Battlestar, Firefly, like all those ones.
Right.
I guess most people know about those. So it's probably going to be more along the lines of those, a little bit more serious, and there's a central story arc that's going to be involved with this TV series. For a TV series, I would not want to see just short stories. It works for sitcoms like Seinfeld and Family Guy, but for Halo, with the kind of attitudes that you have and with what people expect, it would not work.
No.
So,
although Seinfeld style Halo TV series would be interesting.
It would
like,
be
I'm
funny.
Not kidding. Like,
it would be funny to see Johnson, to have Johnson in there with his witty one-liners.
Yeah, but who would be Kramer? Like, would it be like Lasky? Like,
or no, Roland? It wouldn't
I could
be Lasky.
See Roland being kind of. I don't know.
Maybe Roland. That's a tough one. I don't
Sarah
know.
Palmer would be Elaine. Oh man.
Make good Lasky stuff. Seinfeld in that case.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right.
Riceman 64 says, "Hey, Podtacular. I think the newly announced Halo TV show could could bridge the gap between Halo 4 and Halo 5. With Halo 4, Microsoft had the Forward Unto Dawn web series, so knowing Microsoft wanted bigger and better things for one of its core franchises, Halo. I can see the TV series being focused on the impact of the death of Cortana on the Master Chief emotionally and as a soldier. Also, how he would recover and what he would do next in the Halo universe. This show as a Halo content filler and bridge between two major games in the franchise would keep my Halo fiction needs kept at bay for a while. I hope the show takes off really well and goes into other seasons. Thanks, Podtacular, for reading this, and keep up the awesome work."
So this gets into that realm of what do you do between games. And the fact is, a lot of people still would like to see a second season of Spartan Ops. I did put out the tweet when they were doing the Xbox reveal that maybe this TV series would actually be what the second season of Spartan Ops would be like, and he basically nailed that on the head with his submission. So I guess they could kind of do something like that. I don't know if that's the direction that they'll go in, but I'm sure that's definitely one of the possibilities that they thought of for this thing.
I don't know. I think the Cortana Master Chief thing, like, that's for the games. That's like just chiefly for the games, if you'll pardon my pun.
It would be interesting to see how Master Chief is coping with that loss at the time. I do think though that they are going to save that storyline for Halo 5. That's their bread and butter for that game. It's not something that they're going to really dive into that much. We may see if they take the route of doing something between Halo 4 and Halo 5, I don't feel we would see Master Chief too much. We may see him interact, but he would not be a focus character. He would not be a main character in the TV series if you were doing stuff between Halo 4 and 5.
I don't feel that the Chief talks enough to be a main TV series character.
Well, he talked a lot in Halo 4 compared to some other games.
A lot more than he used to, but I mean, he's still not a super chatty protagonist.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Next one comes from Rommel S. He writes in, "Hey, Patek, I've been gone for a while due to the weather finally taking a turn for the good. Okay. I still listen to the shows at my leisure, too busy to listen live on Thursday nights, though. And after hearing last Thursday's show, I had to respond to the question of the week. For the Halo TV series to be successful, I think it has to be centered around the Spartan 2s. I say this because Spartan 2s, more accurately, Master Chief 117, is what made Halo. All the other extended fiction and lore pertaining to the ODSTs, Spartan 3s, Spartan 4s, Insurrectionists, etc. are great, but Halo CE and the book The Fall of Reach had the Spartan 2s as the main protagonists, and that is why they are an instant hit, in my opinion. For everyone that's played Halo CE and or read The Fall of Reach, this counts for the people that have played Halo 2 and Halo 3 as well, then gone back to the two original pieces of fiction, they were hooked at that point because of the Spartans and of the Master Chief. The extended fiction was just a welcomed addition from there on out. Now, if we take someone who has never played a Halo game or read a Halo novel and knows nothing about Halo's story, I just don't see a TV show about anything other than Spartan 2s leaving them wanting more. I think the series needs to start out with the abduction of the children, the Spartan 2 candidates, and the initial reasons why they were needed. Then build a story up through their training, the first contact with the Covenant, and then finally expand into the extended fiction. Keep the series in the time frame of the Spartan 2 program and indoctrination and the Fall of Reach, but always keep the Spartan 2s as the focal point. This leaves a 20-plus year time frame of lore with only retelling the small part of the children and training just to get the show up and running for newcomers. We know from the book Ghost of Onyx that the Spartan 2s went on missions against insurrectionists in this timeline. We saw the babysitter episode from Legends that the Spartan 2s were assigned to missions with ODSTs. Finally, the more obvious is the fight against the Covenant. We would only be missing the Flood and Forerunners, but their stories really don't come into play until after the CE story anyways. So, other than missing that, the majority would get to see what they want, Spartans, ODST, Innies, and Covenant. So, I think we kind of already talked against your point, where we don't want to see the books rehashed, because all the points you made are you're basically taking Contact Harvest and Fall of Reach and putting those two books into a TV show, which I highly feel is the wrong way to do it.
I don't think it's going to keep the hardcore Halo fan interested.
No, it's
not. Because they already know where that story's going.
Right. You need something that fills in extra, brings in new content. It's relatable to the Halo story, and it's entertaining. But for people that are going to watch the Halo TV series, they have most likely already played the games. There's not going to be many people who are going to watch the Halo TV series for the first time not knowing what Halo is.
Well, you might. And that would be funny.
Well, yeah, there might be people, but that percentage is going to be minuscule compared to the people that are going to watch this and already know about Halo.
Right.
Like, if you have, like, a three-year-old who's coming up to watch this for some reason, like, if the parents trust having their kids, like, exposed to Halo. Like, I know Duquesne, his son watches him play Halo. I mean, it's customs, but it's all right. But, like, they're going to be exposed to other facets of Halo besides the TV series. The TV series is not going to be the first thing that people go to. And Forge of the Dawn is the same way. That wasn't the first thing that people knew about. People knew about the games. They knew about the books. They might not have read it, but they understood the general concepts of Halo. So it's not going to be a foreign concept to people that are going to go and watch this thing.
Ease your children into Halo with Halo Mega Bloks.
Yes, do it that way. I honestly think, though, that they need... While it would be cool to see them actually play the books out in a TV series or in movies, I don't think it's time yet.
No.
I think that would kind of be a cop-out on 343's part, especially with what they did with Halo 4 and how their standing is not quite up to where it needs to be with the overall Halo community. They have made strides to bring it back. They have listened to the community, but they need to bring that rehash of the books isn't going to be much of help for them. It would be cool. I mean, I would certainly watch it and buy it, but it's not something... There needs to be something that kind of brings some new aspects to it. Like, if 343 really wanted to bring their specific taste and feel to the Halo universe, this would be the right time to do it. It wouldn't be the games like they did with Halo 4. They need to leave that formula kind of with how Bungie developed it but the TV series would be the perfect platform for them to bring out what they feel they can contribute to the Halo universe.
I should be waiting each and every week in excitement for what I will learn about the Halo universe in this particular episode of the Halo TV series.
Yes.
But you can't do that if you're just rehashing the books, because then I already know the ending.
Correct.
I mean, that's the problem with prequels. Like, I really don't enjoy prequels, because I know how they're going to end. I mean, like, Halo Reach, like, I knew how that ended. There wasn't a big surprise there.
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody dies. The end.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, you could have read that in the book. Like.
Well, not everyone dies. Most people die.
No, I mean, but, yeah, you get what I'm saying. Like, that planet was decimated. They got glassed.
Like, Spartans
fought back, but they were unable to succeed, and most of that planet got demolished. And you could have found that out in the books. Which, I mean, incidentally, that book came out before the first Halo game came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just want new stuff.
Yeah. I agree. Tickle X1. Last one.
Yes. Spartan LZ says, so I've been listening to the last few podcasts, and I thought I would include my thoughts for Halo 5, weapon changes, or upgrades and bringbacks. Visor mode needs to be brought back from ODST. The incineration cannon should shoot rainbows, like in Halo Wars. Scarab Skull. Take out plasma overcharge for the Manus. Give us the 357 from Walking Dead. Allow the shotgun in loadouts, since we have the bolt shot. Okay. I mean, it makes about as much sense.
I know, right?
I like the idea of active camo not being available in our loadouts. Yeah, I like that idea too. As far as what I would like to see in the Halo TV series, I would like to see a Band of Brothers style series with the guys from ODST and how they become Spartans, or if they become Spartans. Or maybe a Sergeant Johnson series, first Halo books, Fall of Reach, and First Strike. Finally, I would like 343 to explain or bring back the Spartan 3s. I know they want to leave their mark on the franchise, but it would be nice to fill in this huge gap.
That huge gap is called Ghost of Onyx.
Yes.
Just saying. So the first half of that was obviously just, like, joking. Scarab Skull, that would be interesting. Having, I guess, all guns actually shoot the Scarab gun projectile, that would be insane. If that's what he means by a Scarab Skull. Visor mode would be interesting. I kind of go on these thoughts every now and then of thinking of what tech they would actually have during the time of Halo and what you would actually be able to do with your armor and with how limited the interface actually is in game to where you're actually enjoying the experience and not having those extra features in there. So, like, Sprint's one of these hugely debated topics where a lot of people don't want it in there, and Ghost Ayame actually put up a post on the Waypoint forums asking from people if they would like to see Sprint and Flinch stay in the game, and there is a huge outcry for them taking it away. But if you think about it, Spartans should be able to sprint. I mean, they're freaking super soldiers with basically ultra-powered exoskeletons that cause them to even go faster. They should be able to sprint. They should be able to do all these amazing feats. They should be able to walk in water, too. And it should... There's all these extra things that, just for the sake of gameplay, that you do not see in the Halo universe. And I would honestly like to see those kind of toyed around with, having those extra ideas actually be brought in and just see how it fits with the game. I mean, if not, just leave it to the campaign. Like, put all those extra little fun toys and things that you would think a Spartan armor would have with all his firmware upgrades and have people toy around with it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. All right, guys, that pretty much wraps up our show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in live for you of those that were on the live stream. And thank you to everyone that submitted in your responses to our question of the week and for the other responses that we got as well. For our question of the week, I feel that the Halo one that we chose from earlier is a little specific. I guess we can go a little general in terms of the weapon tuning. I'll throw this one out there. This will be definitely for like after Monday, but when the playlist drops, go play it, and I'll repost the question of the week on Facebook and Twitter on Tuesday, so you guys can answer it then. But the question of the week for this week is going to be, once the weapon tuning, the update drops, what is your new preferred weapon and why? So that's going to be our question of the week. Well, it didn't get changed. It'd still be the same. So
still preferred. Still the best.
Okay, I'll clarify the question then. Out of the precision and automatic weapons, what is now your preferred weapon of choice? What do you consider to be your primary weapon of choice? We'll do it at that. Primary weapons. What is your new primary weapon of choice after the weapon tuning update? There. That's going to be our question of the week. So, in order to respond to that, just watch for our post on Twitter and Facebook on Tuesday. You can also send it to us via email or via our submission form from our website. So you can either use the Big Green button on our homepage, or you can email it to us directly at submissions@podtacular.com, or you can go ahead and call our voicemail, which is 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. On top of the question of the week, you can also leave us any general Halo stuff that you want to talk about, or if you have any questions about anything that we've discussed, feel free to go ahead and send it our way via any of those methods. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitch, and subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you do tune into our live streams as well. For our regular podcast, we do them Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And we've been doing the bulletin updates, and I have been saying that we are going to do some new stuff. We are going to be doing the lore stuff here very soon. It's just with my busy schedule, it's hard to kind of get people on to schedule. But we are fully intent on doing lore shows and talking to other communities. So if there's communities that you guys think that we need, that we should interview or have on the show that we have not had on before, so new communities, definitely send them our way. Have them tweet at us, have them email us, have them get in contact with us by any means necessary, and we will try to get them on the show and cover their stuff. We have game nights. Like I said earlier in the podcast, we are not doing Monday Night Matchmaking this week because of the community playdate that Waypoint is putting up in light of the weapon tuning update coming out on Monday. So no Monday Night Matchmaking this week, but we will still have our Wacky Wednesdays next week, and it's going to be at 8:30 p.m. also. That's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. So make sure you tune in for that one as well. Finally, the project I've been working on with Jackfire is coming rapidly to a close in terms of registration. So as of this recording, and actually I'll do it from the time it comes out because it'll be out on Friday, but there will be 3 days left to register and apply for the Halo Mole. And for those of you who don't know, the Halo Mole is a kind of a project that my friend and I have been working on. That's an adaptation of the TV series The Mole. And basically what it is there's 10 contestants going through challenges, and in this case it's going to be basically kind of like Halo obstacle courses, racetracks, like kind of stuff that you can make challenges with. So 10 contestants, up to 25,000 Microsoft points able to be won. But the catch is that there's a mole who's trying to sabotage the team's efforts to make them get the money. So at the end of the day, whoever ends up being the winner is the one that will receive the pot that has been gained from all the challenges. So if it's something that you guys think you are interested in, definitely head on over to thehalomole.com and go ahead and watch our teaser, read through our about and FAQ, and if you feel like you want to participate or want to apply, definitely go ahead and apply over there. Applications for that end on June 2nd at 11:59 p.m. or basically the end of Sunday. So, with that said, thank you guys very much for tuning in to our podcast. Hope to see you guys back next week. This has been episode 371, and we will see you guys next time.
Keep on fragging weapons.